Welcome to Shir, Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Nitzavim. The first major section of the Sedra ends off with a very striking pasuk, but a pasuk whose deeper meaning is somewhat hard to fathom. After the Sedra starts off describing how Klal Yisrael are coming into a bris, they're coming into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if they don't keep their end of the bargain, in other words, if they don't keep up Torah, Rachmana Litzlan, so that's going to lead to terrible punishments, thank you, which will come on Klal Yisrael. So at the end of this whole long speech, so we have the pasuk Perek Chavtes, pasuk Chavches, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, the hidden things are to Hashem our God, Baniglos Lanu Levonenu Ad Olam, Lasos is called Divrei HaTorah Hazos. But the revealed things are to us and to our children forever, to perform all the words of this Torah. Okay, that's the translation, but what does the pasuk mean? So, let's share tonight a couple of different interpretations. So, Rabbeinu B'chayi writes on this pasuk, Shomati b'shem ha-Rambam zal pirish pasuk zeh. Rabbeinu B'chayi says, I heard the following in the name of the Rambam. He didn't hear it from the Rambam directly. You know, Rabbeinu B'chayi lived long after the Rambam. But he says he heard the following pshat from the Rambam. I don't know that we have this pshat elsewhere from the Rambam, but the Rabbeinu B'chayi quotes it. And it starts by Hashem Elokeinu. What does it mean that the hidden things belong to Hashem? Eilu sodos haTorah hanistarim b'taymei haMitzvos. This refers to the reasons behind the mitzvos. When the Rambam uses the lashon sodos haTorah hanistarim, even though that's a language which we often associate with Kabbalah, I'm not sure that that's what the Rambam has in mind. The Rambam probably has in mind, you know, the reasons behind the various mitzvos. We know that the Rambam spent an awful lot of time trying to explain the reasons behind the mitzvahs, or at least some reasons behind the mitzvahs. So those reasons, Hashem Yitzvarach Heim. Ultimately, the reasons why Hashem gave us certain mitzvahs, they belong to Hashem Himself. If a person doesn't merit understanding why it is that we do a certain mitzvah, nonetheless, nonetheless, he should not refrain from doing the mitzvah. Because a person should not say, oh, I don't understand the reasoning behind the mitzvah, and therefore I won't perform the mitzvah at all. No, what you need to know is that you need to do the mitzvah. How does that fit back and then he concludes, because ultimately those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children to perform. How does that fit back into the pasuk? So anistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, the hidden reasons, the deeper reasons behind the mitzvahs, maybe only Hashem knows the real reason behind the mitzvahs. Baniglos, but what's revealed? In other words, what is it that we know, we have to do the mitzvah. What we have to do is just perform the mitzvah, lasos, we have to do it, and even if we don't understand why exactly, you know, that's not really relevant in the end of the day. What's relevant is, Hashem said, you have to do this mitzvah, so you have to do this mitzvah. Yeah. So he's not specifically talking about chukim, but the truth is, he could be talking about Chukim, he could be talking about any part of the Torah, right? The Rosalvechik Sassal pointed out how even many of the Mishpatim are, you know, at a certain point, are beyond human comprehension. I mean, you know, to take one of the examples that the Rav gave, so we all understand, you know, the average person understands you can't go around murdering people. What about euthanasia? What about, you know, a patient is dying, you know, a patient is in tremendous pain, and he says to the doctor, please kill me. You know, I don't want to continue to suffer. So what's the right thing to do? You know, so again, the Torah is very clear about what the right thing to do is, but society at large doesn't necessarily agree, you know, with what the Torah sees as being the right thing to do. It doesn't make sense. I mean, the person's in pain. Aren't you in charge of your life? Don't you have a right, you know, to decide when you're going to live, when you're going to die? I mean, our answer is no. But, you know, what's obvious to us is not necessarily obvious to the rest of the world. So, Hanistaros Vashem Elokeinu, trying to understand what the reason behind the mitzvah is. If you get it, you get it. If you don't get it, it doesn't matter. Haniglos Lono Vaneinu Lasos. What we need to do is to do the mitzvahs, whether we understand the reason behind them or not. This is a particularly striking interpretation if it comes from the Rambam, because again, as we pointed out a few moments ago, the Rambam devoted a lot of his career, particularly the Maran Avuchim, to trying to explain what he thought the reasons were behind the mitzvahs. So, you know, it's particularly striking and maybe particularly important for the Rambam to come along and say, in the end of the day, whether I hit the nail on the head or I didn't hit the nail on the head, or you agree with me, you don't agree with me, whether you think you understand the reason for the mitzvah, you don't understand the mitzvah, the bottom line is you just got to do the mitzvah. That's what this pasuk is telling us. So the Rebbe B'chai quotes this Rambam, and he writes, HaPirush HaZeh Be'atzmo Sho'am Yikar V'Sapir. This Pirush, this interpretation of the Rambam, is like a beautiful gem. Aval Einu B'inyan HaParsha. But says the Rebbe B'chai, but it's hard to understand how it fits back, not into the words of the pasuk, but to the rest of the parasha. In other words, what was the rest of the parasha? The rest of the parasha was Klal Yisrael agreeing that they will uphold the Torah, and if they don't uphold the Torah, Hashem is going to bring terrible things down upon them. And then at the very, very end of that whole parasha, we read, oh, by the way, if you don't understand all the reasons behind the mitzvahs, it doesn't really matter, you just have to do them. So says Rebbe B'chai, it doesn't really fit so much the theme of what was going on before. Now, truth be told, writes back Sava Kabbalah, Omnam l'fiyam avur le'el v'posik b'shruus libi eilech shapir hu me'inyin ha'parsha ha'medaberes min ha'mevazeh b'toras Hashem v'ha'mevazeh b'chukei olokim mitzad helem tameyem v'sodoseyem l'chein chosam kan b'yazharazo. Says the Aksava Kabbalah, the truth is, I believe that you can relate it to the rest of the parasha. And he references something that he himself, the Aksava Kabbalah, wrote a little bit earlier in the Sedra, when the Sedra describes in Pasuk Yud Ches the individual who says, "Eh, Shalom Yihieli, good things will be to me, ki bishrius libi eleich, I'll do whatever I want." What does that mean? So the Ksav HaKabbalah explained that what that means is not just the person who says, I don't care about the Torah, but rather the person who says, I can achieve what the Torah wants me to achieve in a way different from what the Torah prescribes for me. Why does the Torah tell us that we shouldn't eat treif? Because once upon a time, treif for foods were not so healthy. So what the Torah really, really wants is for us to be healthy, healthy in body and healthy in spirit. So you know what? I don't need to eat kosher. I'll go on a microbiotic diet, you know? I'll be very careful. I'll be vegan. I'll be vegetarian. You know, I'll avoid this. I'll avoid that. And, you know, I can achieve the Torah's ends, but bishrewisli be'eleich, I'll figure out my own way to achieve what the Torah wants me to achieve. So to that comes this pasuk, according to the Rambam's interpretation, and says, why are you so sure that you know what the Torah wants us to achieve? You figured out what Hashem's goal is with each of the mitzvahs? You know what Hashem's goal is with each of the mitzvahs? He wants us to keep the mitzvah. He doesn't want you to second guess what the mitzvah is and then decide that you have a different way of getting there. No, he told you to do X. He told you not to eat chazer, so don't eat chazer. Don't give me a Torah why we're not eating chazer, and then figure out that you can get to that same goal, you know, by doing something else. So that's what Ksav HaKabbalah wants to suggest, that maybe you can put it together with the rest of the parasha. Of course, you still would have to explain why Hanisaros Hashem Elokeinu doesn't follow Bishrius Libyeilech. In other words, you would think that those two psukim would be back to back if the idea is a similar one. The Liyos Shadvarim Ho'elam Yisod HaTorah VeHo'avodah. In light of the fact that this idea from the Rambam, again, whether it's pshat and pasuk or not, but this idea from the Rambam that, you know, we may or may not understand the reasons behind the mitzvahs, but we have to do them anyway, is a fundamental pillar of our avodas Hashem. Lo emonami lahatik divrei Rabban shekasav ha'pasuk zeves elashono. Says Aksava Kabbalah, let me quote from one of the other great philosophers of the Middle Ages, the Ralbad of Levi ben Gershom, who gave the following interpretation to this pasuk. A person might think that maybe a person is somehow deficient or even sinful if he doesn't understand everything that the Torah, you know, the goals or the purposes of the mitzvahs behind the Torah. By the way, just, I don't know that that bothers us so much, right? In other words, I don't know that the average person today would say, oh, I'm a Rasha if I don't understand why the Torah wants me to do something. But, you know, particularly in the philosophical circles of the Ralbag, where there was a lot of emphasis placed on understanding not just the what, but the why, you know, so this was a legitimate question. Again, those who are familiar with the commentary of the Ralbag on Nach know that at the end of every couple of prokim, the Ralbag has a section called the To'alios. The To'alios is basically the lessons that we learn from this section of Nach and why it was important for the Nach to tell us all these things. So in other words, that was a perspective that, you know, it's important when we learn to try to understand not just the what does it say in the Pasuk, but the why. You know, what's the idea behind this mitzvah, this story? You know, what's the purpose, the goal that I gained from all of this? So you might think if you don't understand it, you're a Rasha, you're deficient in some way. V'imhaya Kain, if that was the case, says the Ralbag, bilti efshar shiya adam tzadik ba'or shlo yechta. So if that was the case, however, that's clearly not true because there'd be no tzadikim in the world, says the Ralbag. Ki lo yuchala amar hakavanas hatorah b'shleimus. No one can really understand what the Torah's purpose and goal is in every respect. There are certain things that are hidden to Hashem alone. V'imhaya zekein, if it was true that keeping mitzvahs meant not only doing the mitzvahs, but really getting to the depths of what all the mitzvahs mean, so it would be impossible to keep mitzvahs by that definition. It would simply be impossible. It's for that reason that the Pasuk says over here, Anistaros Lashem Elokeinu, those To'alios, those very purposes and goals that the Rabbag speaks about so constantly throughout his commentary on Nach, those very goals ultimately belong to Hashem. Says the Rabbag, we can take a guess, we're obligated to try to understand to the best of our ability, but let's not fool ourselves into thinking that, you know, we're going to really, really, really understand what the Torah's goal and purpose is with every single mitzvah, which is not. There's certain things that are beyond us. However, those things which are revealed, those things that the Torah says we should either do or not do, Hem chova lanu levonenu tamid ledoroseinu lasos lefi ma shegazra haTorah mehem. The actions in Torah are absolutely required for us, for all the future generations, no exceptions. So in a vein very similar to the Rambam, the Rabbag also writes, look, you know, again, the Rabbag devoted a lot of his career to trying to figure out the why, the philosophy behind Torah. But in the end of the day, the Rabbag is also saying, like the Rambam, what matters is what you do. What matters is that you perform the mitzvahs. You understand the Kavanah, you don't understand the Kavanah, you know, in other words, you get the philosophy behind it, you don't get the philosophy behind it. That's really secondary, and the truth is perhaps impossible, the Rabbag is saying, to achieve. You know, no one can really, really, really understand all of the philosophy behind the Torah 100%. Right.
So, what's the importance of knowing the reason for any of the mysteries? Other than the fact that it says the mind can't go certain mysteries.
Right. So, it seems like many of the Rishonim held that that was part of Talmud Torah. In other words, the same way that there's a mitzvah to understand a sugi in Shas to the best of our ability, you know, and we don't say, oh, if you really understand the sugi in Shas well, it might mess you up in some way. You know, part of Limud HaTorah ba'amkos, the depth of Limud HaTorah, is to try to understand the mitzvot as best as we can. In other words, that seems to have been a position. The Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, you know, all of the Gedolei HaRishonim who tried to give reasons behind the Torah, I don't think they were just doing it because they wanted to try to justify the Torah to skeptics. Because sometimes, again, as you point out, that backfires. They believed that that was part of the Chiyuv Talmud Torah. You know, part of the obligation we have to learn is to try to, you know, give some kind of reason to the best of our ability for what, you know, for what the Torah has. Aksava Kabbalah himself wrote this idea a little bit earlier, if you recall. He said that's part of, he relates it to, in B'chukosai Teilechu. Right, the chukosai teilechu. Why the Rashi famously says shetu amelim batorah. Right, so why is the chukosai amelim batorah? So the Tzav HaKabbalah explained a chok is to dig deep into something, and when you dig deep into Torah, you know, when you dig deep into Torah, that's amelus batorah. And he said that's why the chukim are called chukim, because we have to dig deep in order to understand what they're all about. So in other words, we're not supposed to just leave them alone and say, oh, pardon, I haven't got a clue. Right? In other words, to the best of our ability, we try to understand them, but we acknowledge that we're probably going to come up short. We're almost certainly going to come up short. In other words, there's humility that accompanies the task, but at the same time, you know, lo ata ben charen li batel mimena, you know, you can't just put it by the side. So what's striking again is that the Rambam and the Rabag, who both champion this approach, are both saying, but in the end of the day, it's the mitzvos ma'asios, you know, it's the practical mitzvos which matter, and the philosophy that goes behind it is really secondary, and maybe, again, beyond our ability to understand in any case.
It seems like the people, you know, we could do this, and then have a way out to say, well, we really don't have to do this, but you know, because there is a need for it, and therefore you have to do it. But the problem is that if you spend all this energy trying to find a reason for it, then you set up, you can't help set up a series of values. And then you start to, it's impossible not to.
Impossible not to
start to attribute certain values to certain mitzvahs over others, for example.
Right. So
and we know that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right. So the truth is, we know that certain mitzvahs, when there's a conflict, do have value over other mitzvahs. In other words, if it comes down, again, to take a classic example, Pikuach Nefesh pushes aside Shabbos, right? But hopefully part of the maturity that we have is to say that I recognize that Pikuach Nefesh pushes aside Shabbos, but that doesn't mean that Shabbos is unimportant. It just means that, you know, there's a certain relative importance when there's a conflict. You know, I think that same paradigm can be used even when a person gets into understanding the mitzvahs. In other words, from the point of view of these Rishonim, who gave Tamei HaMitzvahs, trying to understand mitzvahs is never a bad thing. It's always part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that the more you understand, the better. You know, we don't say that, you know, less understanding, ignorance is bliss. You know, that the more you understand about a mitzvah is good. You just have to come in with the humility to say that what I think is the understanding is not necessarily the understanding. So, skipping a little bit, the Ksav HaKabbalah writes, Hinei Rav Yitzchok Abar Benel Rabbeinu B'chai Tarchu Harbe Liashev HaMikro Zeh L'Kashur Mashe Kodam. As we saw a little bit in the citation from Rabbeinu B'chai before, whatever the pshat is in this pasuk, Kamistaris L'Hashem Elokeinu, both the Abar Benel and Rabbeinu B'chai spent a lot of time trying to connect this pasuk to the earlier parasha. Because again, it just kind of, it does seem like a little bit of a non sequitur at the end of the parasha, that, you know, at the end of this particular section, you know, if you're not going to keep the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to chase you out of Eretz Yisrael, right? That's what it says right before. You're going to be sent into Galus. And then, boom, all of a sudden, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. What's the connection? Where did that, whatever it means, where did that come into the parasha altogether? V'chol me'ayin yishpot v'tzedek shem d'chukim me'od. To be honest, says Aksav HaKabbalah, if you read their words, you see that they're very, you know, they're difficult words. They're forcing the pshat in the text in whatever they give to explain why this pasuk is here. Vanir ali bozeh. So let me suggest the following, says Aksav HaKabbalah, as to what this pasuk's connection is to the rest of the parasha. Imasher al isti b'sefer magid meisharim l'moreinu Rav Yosef Karo. I saw this in the Sefer Magid Meisharim from Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. The Magid Meisharim is the Sefer that describes how Rav Yosef Karo was visited by a Malach every night who taught him Torah. So in that Sefer I saw the following. In the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, it said, Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, I've called you here together in order to initiate you into this covenant with Hashem. So Rav Yosef Karo brings the following kasha. Why did Moshe have to initiate Klal Yisrael into a bris? They had a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu already at Sinai. What's being added over here in Nitzavim? V'su, furthermore, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu called Klal Yisrael in and said, I'm now bringing you into a covenant with Hashem. And what's their response to that? As far as we can tell from the parasha, nothing. So that's not a bris. A bris means that we both agree. Right? In other words, if I say I'm entering into a contract with everybody here and I give a whole monologue, and then I say, okay, so I guess you all agree. Let's daven Ma'ariv. So the only Yechater Ovon is the Ovon that I did by forcing you into an agreement without your agreeing. How can you be part of a bris if you don't agree? Right? I mean, so explains the Ksavah Kabbalah. So explains Rav Yosef Karo that you know what the pshat is? At Sinai, Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah under duress, right? Kaf Aleim Harkigigas. He held the mountain over their heads. And even if you say that they said Nasa v'nishma, as the Gemara says also, alright, so why do they agree to Torah? Because they agreed willingly, but not so willingly, because after all, they were in a desert. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was providing for them. He gave them the man. So in those kind of situations, even if you agree of your own free will, it's not really your own free will. You agree because you can't really fathom the alternative. So now, at the end of the 40 years that Klal Yisrael are about to become self-sufficient, says Rav Yosef Karo, so Moshe Rabbeinu turns to them again and says, "Nu, now that you're going to be self-sufficient, do you want to really agree to the bris? Right? Now there's no external factor that's forcing you to agree to the bris you made with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are you ready to agree now?" The inon lo ahadule midi, and the fact that Klal Yisrael didn't respond at all is not a problem. Mishum d'shtika kodo damya. Because we know there's a principle in halacha, silence is acquiescence. If, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a whole drasha about how they're entering into a bris with Hashem, and they say nothing, so nothing means we agree, fine. V'hinei ara gedola ma'od. So comes on that, Aksav HaKabbalah, the point Rav Yosef Karo is making is an incredible point. Eich yavir Moshe b'bris ha'tara, v'heim lo kimu v'kabu divrei ha'bris hazos v'peh molek, Moshe osu b'bris ha'rishon, by Sinai, Klal Yisrael, they responded in some way. They said, Nasa v'nishma. Right? In other words, Kaz Bavasher, Dibra Hashem Nasu. The Psukim talk about how Klal Yisrael accepted the bris at Har Sinai. Right? And here they say nothing. So Rav Yosef Karo's answer is Shlika Koda. Okay? So they were silent, and that's considered to be acquiescence. But the Aksav HaKabbalah wants to suggest that maybe there's another answer. One second. Yeah, one second. Vululei the Mr. Fina. So says the Aksav HaKabbalah, it would seem to me, if I was not afraid to say so, which is always the polite way of saying, I'm not afraid to say so, right? I'd like to say the following. Says the Aksav HaKabbalah, an amazing pshat. This pasuk, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, is Klal Yisrael's response to Moshe Rabbeinu throughout this whole section. As he puts it, it's the response of the Makela, i.e. the choir. So in other words, if we were to put quotation marks in the Sefer Torah, from Atem Nisavim Hayom Kulchem, is all Moshe Rabbeinu, up until Vayashlichem Eretz Acheres Kayom Hazeh, is all Moshe Rabbeinu, end quotes. And then new quotes, Klal Yisrael responds, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu, Vaniglos Lomu Vanenu Ad Olo Matos, is called Dibri Adhara Azos, end quotes. That's the response of Klal Yisrael. Uvozek Kimu Aleim V'al Zayim Achreim Dibri Adhara Azos Be'omram, Hanistaros Lashem Elokeinu. And by saying this line, that was their acceptance of the bris. In other words, the kasha of Rav Yosef Karo is a good kasha. Where do we find that they accepted this bris at the end of 40 years? So instead of saying shtika kolda, they were just silent, and that's how they accepted it. He gives a different answer to Aksav HaKabbalah. No, Anistaras Bashem Elokeinu is when the people answer, we're accepting the bris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is to say, Mishiyavur B'seiser Yeh Mishpato B'yad Hashem Levado HaYodea Talum Oslev. If a person transgresses in secret, Anistaros, so that's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem will take care of that. Avolim tia begaloi, but haniglos, if somebody sins openly, yiyachov lanu levonenu levar haram mikirbenu, then we will take care and punish that person who violates the Torah. Vaniglos, an open violation of Torah, lanu levonenu ad olam. Vim lo nasa bohem din yeyanshu harabu mapishay ayochid. And if we don't take care of it, so then we will be punished because of that sin of the individual. So by the way, again, without going into too much, this in many ways is really Rashi's pshat on this pasuk. If you take a look in Rashi, what the Aksav HaKabbalah adds, which is not in Rashi, is that according to Rashi, it's just sort of a statement made by Moshe Rabbeinu. According to the Aksav HaKabbalah, the statement is specifically made by Klal Yisrael, and its role is to affirm the bris which was stated by Moshe Rabbeinu from the beginning of the parasha, Atim Nisavim Hayom Kochem. Uvozeh in Amikra Yosef de Pshuto, this is a straightforward way of understanding the pasuk. Uba'al Mekomo Haroi Achar Chasimas Moshe's Divrei HaBris. And it's in its proper place, it makes sense that it is where it is, because that's a response to Moshe Rabbeinu's presentation of the bris. And then he adds the following, which maybe this was the minhag in Germany in the 1800s when he wrote this. I'm not aware that this is the minhag today, but I'm open to being corrected. Usmuchim wazem imashin noagim shakore batora b'tzibur b'mikrozeh hu magbiya kolor bo yosem yivamashalofonov. The minhag is, as we all know, that when the Balkare hits the pasuk anistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, he raises his voice and he reads it in a higher octave or in a louder voice than the psukim that came before. And that's a zecher to the fact, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, that this pasuk Hanistaros historically was said by the entire tzibur, so it was said together in a loud voice, the makela as a choir, and that's why the Baal Kari reads the pasuk louder today when we lay.
I have many times of laying than the kol. Says it along.
Oh, okay, so that's really lifting Mishuras Hadin. Yeah. But yeah. So,
I don't need it to be loud.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with this minhag. Again, he writes it like such a dover poshut. Like, of course, we all know this minhag. I mean, maybe that was the minhag in Germany in the early 1800s when he was writing. So again, for those of us who don't have the minhag, we don't have to farend for the minhag. But you know, his explanation of the minhag is that historically, everybody in Klal Yisrael said, Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu, and that was the nafta v'nishma, so to speak, of the door that was just about to go into Eretz Yisrael.
Did you explain why it has all those dots and stuff?
Oh, yeah, so I did not. If you look in Rashi, Rashi does talk about the dots. We're not going to talk about the dots tonight. We have to really do something for Shabbos, Be'ezus Hashem. Yeah. People have to have some incentive to come to Shul, you know, and talk about that. But Be'ezus Hashem, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit on Shabbos. I have to run before Myra, so we're not going to have a second part of the shiur tonight, but Be'ez Hashem will pick up next Wednesday night, so I'm Gedalia Be'ez Hashem, and we'll learn together the Ksav HaKavon and Parshas Vayelech. Okay, Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer,